All right, here we go. You guys chatting away. We got a Stanley Cup final to get ready.
I know.
Including a Canadian city.
Let's talk.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Fastest hour in hockey coming right up. We are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. Good weekend.
Mm-hmm. For the hockey?
For the hockey.
Yes.
Good weekend for...
Bobby McIntyre.
Forget about Edmonton for a second. Sportsnet. That's the first thing I thought
of. Oh, yeah.
Sportsnet.
Yeah.
And then we're watching David, Amber, and Elliot scene setting for us. They look like they gave birth last night. They were so happy. So happy.
DA
loves the Canadian squad.
We got to get him on this week. He'll be fired up.
It's Edmonton's first Stanley Cup final in 18 years.
Is that right?
But it's not Sportsnet's first Stanley Cup final, the Canadian team, because the Montreal Canadiens went a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that one kind of was...
Yeah.
What, through a pandemic? I don't even remember.
Panic reading the information there on Wikipedia.
Did they let people in?
3,500 people were permitted when the health officials denied the request to go to 10,500. So they had a few thousand at the game.
And if I may remind you, they played an Eastern Conference team in the final. Things were weird.
Yeah.
They played the Lightning in the final.
So I don't want to cheapen that Stanley Cup final for the Montreal Canadiens.
It's an asterisk for both.
It's goofy.
Teams, asterisk.
This is the first real normal Stanley Cup final for Sportsnet.
Yep. Yes. Way to go.
Way to go, Sportsnet.
And guess what? They got to wait 2 years for it to start.
I know.
Oh, my God.
How are they not playing Wednesday or Thursday? They're playing Saturday?
Four letters.
ESPN?
Yes.
Oh.
And like,
what does ESPN want it to start a week from now?
Because they've got
NBA starts Thursday.
I think they got a chess tournament they want to cover. They got bowling. they got programming. They
watching the Lumberjacks jack that lumber is.
Whoa. Is there a spell? They cover spelling bees, don't they?
They do.
I mean, they got to get fired a few more Caitlin Clark takes. So they got
those
a busy week.
What the hell are we going to talk about for 5 nights?
Caitlin Clark.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
They're pretty rough on old Caitlin.
Before we get into Ken Holland, who's joining us here, the general manager of the Stanley Cup finalists, Edmonton Oilers, is joining us here momentarily. I just wanted to say, to everybody at the RBC Canadian Open this weekend that stopped me to tell them that they loved our show.
Mm.
It was unbelievable, boys.
Really?
Awesome.
I bet you I got stopped 50 times. And people, I love the show. That Kipper's
hold
an
on,
idiot.
Hold on,
Justin's
hold
on. Justin's so handsome.
The one guy stopped Sammy and yelled, zero effing IQ McKee at him, which if you listen to Friday's show, you know what that means. So.
People are still listening. I was blown away by how many people stopped me. It was amazing. So I wanted to tell you guys that people do like our show.
And
we're popular.
And Rory's turning into a Leaf fan. Did you hear that?
I love it.
Yeah. He's trying to fix the Leafs' problems. He's talking to higher-ups at MLS. He wants to go to a game he's never been.
I'm not sure if this was on the broadcast at all because I was there. And during a very tense moment for Mackenzie Hughes in the front nine, the rink hole was adjacent to where we were. And there was a rousing chant of Rory single.
Come on.
Yeah, so I don't know if that came across on CBS. I don't know if anyone said anything like that. But they were, the 13 people were greased up. It was raining. They had to enjoy themselves. But there was a rousing chant.
That's so rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rory was very forthcoming with, there'll be changes to the Leafs.
Yeah.
He was pushing for him.
We got to get him on the show.
So who do you think he talked to?
Probably Keith, right?
I mean, there has to be Keith Belly.
For sure. I mean, there's the connection to the Euro Tour stuff that he did. So,
oh, yeah.
I would imagine it's probably
he
ran the DP World Tour, didn't he?
Yeah. So
can't see Brad Tree Living or Brendan Shanahan breaking bread with him on the weekend.
I mean, they would love to, I'm sure.
Community.
All right, as Sammy said, the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers will be joining us in a few minutes, Ken Holland. As Derek Brandeo works on that. Also, Jake the Snake Schultz. And, of course, this hour of Real Kipper brought to you by Bet365.
Beautiful.
So, where do you want to start? Just in terms of the Edmonton Oilers needing 6 games to put away the Dallas Stars.
Ten shots and win a game.
A game where I think Connor McDavid probably summed it best in his post-game comments with Kyle saying, if I'm not mistaken, not our best effort.
Yeah. Buddy, it doesn't matter at this time of year, right? You know what I mean? Like, they got the goals. You parked the bus, as they say in soccer, in front mm-hmm. of that, and cross your fingers, and they got her done. So
they played a couple of great games against the Canucks that they didn't end up winning. Like, that's how hockey goes. Like, yeah. Sometimes you get the bounces you do, and like, Stu Skinner was great.
What did you see or not see out of Dallas?
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. We have someone more important
All
in
right.
my opinion.
Let's welcome him in. General manager of the Edmonton Oilers, Western Conference champions, now all set for the Stanley Cup Final, Ken Holland. First of all, congratulations on getting there and just, waking up and feeling how today?
Hi, Nick. Yeah, certainly, thrilled to be in the Stanley Cup Final, but no, there's a big challenge ahead here. Feel real fortunate to get by Dallas. They were tremendous hockey team, and obviously my good friend Jim Neal was the general manager and built them, and it was a tough conversation after the game when I had a short chat with Jimmy. Those are always, I've been in those shoes before when you lose tough series, so certainly feel real fortunate that we've got to the Stanley Cup Finals and excited for the opportunity.
Ken, yeah, congratulations. Just echo that sentiment. It's pretty awesome. We're excited to have a Canadian team in the final. No one gets through three rounds of playoff hockey without a lot of things going well. What has gone right specifically for you guys this playoff season to see you win three playoff rounds?
Well, first off, I think the beauty of the Stanley Cup tournament is it's a team tournament, and ultimately you need a team. Certainly we're led by Connor and Leon. But Stu Skinner, obviously, last night was massive in us winning a closeout game. I think back to pick stepping in game four against Vancouver and winning game four and giving Dustin Schwartz and Stu Skinner 4 or 5 days to kind of regroup and work on a few things. And Stu's bounced back and the penalty killing, which was has been a big key for us. I think about the series, getting a goal out from Broberg and a goal from Brown and a goal from Henrique and mm-hmm. A goal from McLeod. You need depth scoring. So you can't win one way if you're going to get to the finals and go through three rounds. And ultimately, the team that wins four rounds, you need contributions from 20 and maybe 25 people. And great job by Chris Knobloch moving people in and out. He's made some massive decisions throughout these playoffs that have really positively impacted our team.
We're talking to Ken Holland, general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. So, Ken, as you're watching the final seconds tick off the clock, the first thing that pops into your mind or the first people that you thought of, I know you just mentioned Connor and you mentioned Leon. Are those two guys that you think of first maybe through a lot of trials and tribulations towards getting to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Darnell Nurse, obviously the guys that have been here the longest. Certainly anytime you win, you know how exciting it is for your fan base and the city. I mean, lots of things go through. Now, I would say to you what was going through my head I think they had two great A's the last minute. Robertson walking down Main Street
yeah.
there with about 30
wow.
seconds to go, and then there was a one-timer with 5 or 6 seconds to go. I Puck was in the corner there with about 8-9 seconds. I was kind of, and all of a sudden it's in the slot, and somebody let another one-timer go that just missed it. So it went right down to the wire. Obviously, it's so hard. I've been at this a long time. It's so hard to make the Stanley Cup. It's hard to get to the Final Four. It's hard to get to the finals. I'm thrilled for, first and foremost, obviously, Connor, Leon, the players who have worked so hard to get to this far, and the sacrifices they make, the disappointment that we went through last year when we lost to Vegas. And, I think the year before when we lost in the Final Four to Colorado, they'd been at it 2-3 years longer. I think we kind of felt somewhat disappointed but somewhat satisfied that we'd got to the Final Four. Last year, I know that it was a massive disappointment when we lost to Vegas, and I think that was a lot of fuel for us being able to win the West and advance to the Stanley Cup Finals. And the players ultimately who are out there on the ice, and they're giving their all day in and day out, starting in July and August, and all the sacrifices that need to be made to get to this point.
Well, Ken, it is the players and all that, but you have a role in putting this team together, and obviously there's a lot of things that have gone right, as we mentioned. When you look at this team, what decisions or acquisitions are you most proud of? Obviously, Hyman and Ekholm are great contracts. The decisions to take on Perry and Kane have worked out. Skinner's played well. What do you feel you've done best to help your team get here?
Patience. Mm-hmm. How hard it is. You just got to, I think that's what we learned in Detroit all those years in Detroit. It's like you know, trial and error, and you got to keep banging away, and that's what we've, I felt that it's my fifth year here. Year one, we needed to kind of be in a playoff hunt in March, and we were a little bit better than that. You need to be in the big games, you need to be in the big moments, and the manager needs to learn from those moments, and the coach needs to learn, and the players need to learn, and then you make some tweaks, and you keep banging away, and sometimes you're close, but the bounces don't go your way, and sometimes you're not quite good enough, and you gotta make some tweaks. And I think about the job Peter Chiarelli did before I got here, and the drafting of Bouchard, and the drafting of Skinner, and the drafting of McLeod, and you're down to minute margins, and that's why I get back to it's 2025. Certainly, there's. Your key people, but you just need so many contributions, maybe under the radar contributions from so many different people on the ice and off the ice, to be able to make the playoffs and then be able to advance. And now we're obviously down to two teams, Florida and us. They're doing the same thing on their side that we've been able to do on our side. And 2 weeks from now, someone's going to be high, and someone's going to be low. Both teams are battle-tested, so it really shapes up to be a tremendous playoff series, a tremendous Stanley Cup final.
Ken, can you just talk, and again, I don't know if you can kind of underestimate what a tough decision it is for any general manager to change a coach mid-season, and just the Knobloch impact and Paul Coffey coming in. Is there one thing that stands out above all on what that impact had on this hockey club?
Well, certainly that was a key point in time of turning around, and certainly Jeff Jackson deserves a lot of the credit, most of the credit in that decision. I had interviewed Chris Knobloch 4 or 5 years ago for the Grand Rapids job. Ryan Martin had got down to the, we were looking for a coach in Grand Rapids. And actually, it's funny, we got down two of the three finalists. One was Mike Sullivan, and one was Chris Knobloch. So I've sort of followed his career, and as we got out of the gate, and I don't know, we were 2-6-1, and 2-7-1, and 2-8-1, and Jeff and I were talking a lot, and you want to be patient, and certainly believe the team would turn around, and ultimately a decision had to be made, Jeff knew Connor had played, he knew a lot about Chris Knobloch because he had, had players that had played for him in Erie. And ultimately eventually came to the decision that we needed to make a coaching change. When Chris came in, the team responded to him. We had a good team. We had 108 points the year before. We'd gone to the second round. We were just in a bad place. And certainly Chris Knobloch and Paul Coffey came in, and we got it. I think we had about the best winning percentage in the league from the time that Chris came in with Paul Coffey, and team responded. And certainly those two people, along with the job Mark Stewart's done with the penalty killing, Gully, with the power play, Dustin Schwartz with, you got to have a good coaching staff, and certainly Chris Knobloch and Paul Coffey. The turnaround really began at that point in time, and our coaching staff have had a major impact in us being able to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals.
So when you look ahead to those finals, every matchup is different, different strengths for different teams, and so teams tend to play differently. When you look ahead to Florida, is there any alterations you guys plan to make to your lineup or in the way you play to handle the Panthers?
Well, I think what usually happens is, you know, you go into game one and then you play the game. And when the game's over, that's when the adjustments start. Mm-hmm. Even obviously there's going to be video. We're doing video. They're doing video. You're going to have a game plan. But you don't really know until you get on the same ice surface and you play a game. And then, you know, you kind of get an idea on how things things look. Obviously, again, like, they're battle tested. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. They're disappointed. They're motivated. You know, we're disappointed that we lost to Vegas last year, you know, but we went to the Final Four. Both teams are battle tested. You know, so I think it's got the makings of a tremendous series, a long series, a tough series. Certainly they're big, they're physical. They're hard, they're heavy. They got great goaltending. They're deep. When you go to the finals 2 years in a row, you got to have all those things, but you can't fluke it. In this league, it's well built. Bill Zito's done a tremendous job. They're well coached by Paul Maurice. So we know that we're facing a tremendous hockey team. We believe that we're a tremendous hockey team. We're excited for the opportunity. You know, I've been fortunate to be in this situation a few times, four times on the winning side, two times on the losing side, in the Stanley Cup Finals. You know, it's you got two great teams going at it, and it has the makings of a hell of a series. And who knows? I think the adjustments start after game one. You go into the game one here, and we're both going to play, and then from then on, you start having adjustments and matchups and different things. So excited for this week to prepare. Excited to get down to Florida and get going on Saturday.
Ken, one more before I let you go. Are you guys cursing ESPN as much as we are for the delay till Saturday, or are you okay with that?
Well, I think the NBA plays Thursday, so, you know, you can't play Thursday. You know, they kind of got set. TV decides all that, obviously. So, you know what? It's the same. I think they won the night before. We won last night. So they won Saturday. We won Sunday. So both teams are going to have a good break. Both teams are going to be fresh, healthy, rested. You know, one team hasn't had, you know, one day is not a big difference. So, you know, we're excited. We're practicing, get today off, practice a couple of days, fly down there on Thursday. And, you know, y'all, Friday's always a busy day. The day before, there'll be hundreds of media down there, and get everything out of the way. And then let's play Saturday. Get excited to get going.
Well, we're excited for you, and we can't wait. Hey, thanks for doing this. If by chance you win a cup and you want to stop by at Rosedale Golf Course again, I'm happy to entertain you again if you bring the cup.
If you bring the cup,
that's
he says.
The last time I saw you?
Yeah, I think so. Thanks, Ken.
That's funny. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, right. Ken. Appreciate it. Good luck.
I don't know who was in our foursome. It was me. I invited Ken Holland, Doug Armstrong, and...
Rafa Nadal.
No. Nadal was...
He's the weirdest player I've ever golfed with.
And someone else really important, but I can't remember who it was.
And who else?
Man, that was just a foursome.
You're just greasing the wheels, eh? Getting all those scoops?
They love the... No scoops. That's Elliot. Elliot followed us in the bushes. Trying to get scoops.
One of those microphones he's holding up. That's great. Well, I mean, exciting times. Ken seems pretty practical about what it's going to take. That Florida Panthers team is a good team.
I think the one good thing I think for Edmonton is Connor and Leon kind of drew that line in the sand a while ago when they said Stanley Cup or bust.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no room to be complacent to get to a final for them.
Well, and that's how you end up firing a coach so early, is that it just can't keep going on like this, you know, because those are the expectations. But I saw a clip, I think Sportsnet played it, of McDavid last year when they lose, saying, you know, you kind of look at the history of hockey and sometimes you got to lose to win, right? You got to go through some of this sort of stuff. And, you know, they've been there. Unfortunately, the team they're going to play has also lost to win. Oof. So this bit, boys, this is going to be a series.
Yeah.
I got some heat for saying this is the best Stanley Cup final that the NHL could produce on Twitter. It is the best. Florida is, I would say, universally
the best.
You know, everyone agrees that this season Florida was the best team in the NHL. I know the Rangers won the President's Trophy, but Florida was the best team.
So,
were they not?
Mm-hmm. We were raving on Florida all season long.
All season long.
This show, our show, we had put Florida as a complete team that could almost
played anywhere.
In any era, yeah. at any time. Yeah. Yeah. Like, they looked old school. They looked new school. They had everything
Their
you would
shoulders.
Want.
That is awesome.
As he mentioned, the Oilers, the best team since the coaching hire in the whole league. They got the best player in the world. Draisaitl's right there in the top handful.
No, it's set up.
This is as good as we could do as a league.
I think, you know, one of the things we kind of talked about with the Stars is that the guy's in their primey prime, right?
Like, super prime.
You think about, I guess it's Hintz that would be like in his super prime, but yeah. Robertson's still pretty young. All their guys are young. They have older guys.
Totally.
They missed it.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in the right age Oilers, guys at your core.
Oilers have Draisaitl and McDavid prime. In their prime of primes. And on the other side, you have Tkachuk and Barkov Bennett. In their prime of primes. They have those are like the two.
Listen,
it's Dallas set up to be unbelievable.
Dallas's veterans just
couldn't do it over and over and over.
Couldn't get the job done. They're just a little bit, too far gone.
Yeah.
You know, Sagan, Ben, Pavelski. They couldn't get it done. They're young players.
And then you're looking at the young guys to do it. That's hard.
But they're not ripe. They're still green.
Yeah.
So they got caught.
Yeah, for sure. And they were great.
They put in that Maverick Bork last night too, which is a bit of a desperation move. But I thought he actually had a couple moments where he's noticeable. Number 22. I'm just like, okay. But like that's the point they were at with even trying even more young guys. But can I ask you a question before we get to game time? This is a hot debate amongst, you know, the internet about the Oilers and being Canada's team and people throwing themselves. But where do you guys stand? I mean, it's more of a fan question. Maybe you guys don't care, but like,
no, it's a worthwhile question.
Do you guys, like, how do you think people outside of Edmonton should feel about this? Because I'm feeling that it's not Canada's team.
How about new?
No, Derek.
Listen, I don't know what the ratings are, but I do know that Toronto and Boston game 7 in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't know what that number was, but
it was up near
4 or 5 million.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had a Stanley Cup final anywhere near that in the last few years. And I don't know what Edmonton will bring, but it's hard to get to that number without the support of the province of Ontario, and more specifically, the Toronto Maple Leaf audience.
I will say this. Okay?
That number's huge. And if they're not on board, it's hard. And Zach Hyman, did you hear him after the game?
What did he say?
About Canada's team. I don't know if Toronto feels that same way.
Yeah.
Like, that's what decides.
That's a man who's from here.
I hate to say it, but that's what decides if it's Canada's team or not.
But you know what? I watched that Amanda Belianis, is it, from the Golf Channel? She held up a Matthews sweater at the rink hole and a McDavid sweater, and that McDavid sweater blew the place up. They were chanting, "Go Oilers, go."
Listen, I hope they
watch. Here in Ontario.
I didn't see that when the Brian was there.
Massive pop for the Oilers jersey.
Oh. I hope they watch. Okay? I hope they watch.
Yes.
I hope Ontario watches and they get behind the Edmonton Oilers.
I think they're way more interested than they would be in Dallas.
But then that number should climb to 5, 7, 10 million.
Wow.
No, it should.
Well,
it would be automatic for the Leafs. If the Leafs got to a Stanley Cup final, that number could be over 10.
That's all that is.
But my point is that if they're fans, they're watching still.
I think, I think McDavid alone is enough to generate national attention. You mentioned that you are more in support of the Oilers than maybe another Canadian team because you want to see McDavid get his.
I think that's what it comes down to. Like, I think there's two separate conversations between one where, sure, more people may be watching because it's a Canadian team and McDavid and Draisaitl and Bouchard and like the whole story. But I don't think more people may be rooting for them.
But
I think it's watching them and rooting. Rooting are two completely different things.
If you didn't do this show, would you be watching
Oilers?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd watch this.
Ask me Dallas.
But your first instinct is you want the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup first. You don't want Edmonton to win it.
Obviously. Correct.
Yeah.
There's nothing
I would say there's probably 75% of Sammies out there in Ontario.
Yeah.
Now, they don't have a show, so, you know, they don't necessarily have to watch.
But it's relevant for Leafs fans because you're going to have to hear about this. This is, you know, like, it's going to get your attention because it might come up.
Do you want to hear my honest opinion that might get the Oilers fans?
Here we go.
I think there's a much better chance for Connor McDavid to play for the Leafs if he wins the cup. So.
What are we doing?
I do. I mean, if you want the Leafs perspective.
Friday is off the rails take our show.
I mean, you think if he
not
gets
on a Monday.
You accomplish with the team you're drafted by.
I apologize to our audience.
You accomplish that, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're like, I've accomplished this. We've won the cup.
Yeah.
And now I can go home and conquer the next thing at home.
Holy mackinac! That's
just... Whether you're right or wrong, I don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, I'm not touching it either. You're on your own on that one. You're on your
That's
own
not for today. But,
good drop.
But anyways, I hope the country does rally around it.
Yeah.
And I hope people here in Ontario rally around it because they're the numbers that really drive it for
years.
Sportsnet. And you
30
know,
years since Canada's had a cup. Can we get one?
But yeah, Connor deserves it. I had to plug my nose and say, you know, Oilers fans, you can have it. But, like, at the end of the day, he needs to get a cup. He deserves a cup. He's one of the best players in the history of the game. He deserves it. So,
how about last night? They need a performance out of him, and he comes in.
I cannot believe that goal he scored. That's something. That's like a Thursday
that's a
night.
Shitty. That's
Thursday
a shitty.
Night.
Miro Heiskanen was in an absolute blender. Like, I mean, that's the equivalent of getting dunked on in the NBA.
I don't know if you saw Anthony Petrelli put out a tweet about this, where Chris Tanev was in the box.
Yes.
And he's on the right side, and it's just like the fine margins.
Anthony and I were texting about this because I was like, that's not handedness. That's just a guy getting cooked.
But, I mean, there's something to it.
Sure.
I mean, Tanev probably would have got walked too on that toe
right.
drag. But...
Let's go to Leon Draisaitl on the Connor goal.
Yeah, Leon, you've seen Connor do a lot of moves before. Have you ever seen that one? And Connor, can you just, after Leon's done, just take us through the goal and what was going through your mind there?
Yeah, it was nice. Seen it before, but nice. Like,
hey, Juan, have you been watching? He scored 64 times last year.
It's nice. That's just such a team. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah,
I've played with Connor McDavid, dude. I see a lot of nice ones. Good on Zyes for asking it, but
yeah,
typical.
We should get in game time so we have a guest.
Yeah, we'll get game time going here. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I have to go way ahead here to look at what's happening with the Stanley Cup Final. As I'm trying to pull this up here, and it's not coming up. Maybe because it's too far in the future. But, oh no, here we go. Who do you think is the favorite, and what do you think the line is? Borny, I'll start with you.
It's the Panthers are favored, and they're like minus 120.
You are very close to correct. It is the Florida Panthers are favored. They are minus 130, and the Edmonton Oilers are plus 110 to win the Stanley Cup. The Conn Smythe that we have got to this point, the Conn Smythe favorite, I think it's pretty easy to guess who that would be.
Goalie Bob?
Nope. Connor McDavid's the favorite.
Oh, yeah. I see.
At plus 210. Barkov next at plus 400. Sergei Bobrovsky as well at plus 400. Tkachuk, Draisaitl, Evan Bouchard, Verhaeghe, and then it goes all the way up after that. So if you want Zach Hyman, you can still get him at 80-1. Matthew Tkachuk is plus 600. So that's where we're at heading into the finals this weekend.
Did you say he's 8-1 or?
Plus 600.
For Hyman, though.
Hyman is 80-1.
Wow.
Yeah. That's... What's he need, like five goals to set a new record?
I mean, there's a world, but like I said to you guys last week.
A couple of OT winners.
19, Reggie Leach.
I don't know.
That's amazing.
He's already got 12 something like that. How about the shot he made last night? I mean, the McDavid fake drop that makes the spaces nasty, but Hyman, ding.
That's the reason Hyman will never win it.
Because McDavid exists.
McDavid is going to be bouncing them off of him for him to get there, and it's just going to be McDavid
has
all the
points. Coach Chippy has a great video of Hyman's goals of the year.
Yeah. I met Coach Chippy at the party at the Jays party.
Nice.
He said, "How you flowing, boys?" That's how he introduced himself.
That's fantastic.
So, there you go. That's
I
Coach
wouldn't
Chippy.
Expect anything different.
Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, let's take a quick break. Jason Greger, host of the Jason Greger Show on Sportsnet 1440 in Edmonton, will join us. We'll get a vibe out of him and if the Oilers have a chance or not.
Oh, they got a chance.
That's all. Just give me a chance. Just
give me a chance.
Eddie, give me a chance. That more when we return. Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Greger, who's just sobering up.
I wish.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, there's a few people that are probably hungover.
Yeah, I think so. And apparently there's plenty of time to dry out between now and Saturday. So any chance that between last night and Saturday night there's complacency falling into place here for a Stanley Cup final, or do we go back to Connor and Leon saying Stanley Cup or bust?
No, I think it's, you know, both teams have basically the same time, right? The one day extra for the Panthers. So, no, I think you got two teams. Many players have waited their whole career for this. You want to get to a Stanley Cup final. The Panthers went there, lost last year. The Oilers have been building for this for a few seasons. I don't expect complacency at all. Will the first period be maybe a little bit rusty? Possibly. But once this series gets going, guys, I think it's going to be a hell of a series. Honestly, it's Florida offers a much different challenge that Edmonton's faced, but Edmonton offers a challenge that Florida hasn't faced because they haven't faced McDavid or Draisaitl.
We'll dig more into the Edmonton-Florida series in a minute here. I know there's certainly two teams that the fancy numbers really like, but just want you to reflect for a second on the Edmonton-Dallas series. And what to you were the main stories from that Western Conference victory?
Well, special teams was crucial, right? You don't give up a power play goal the entire series. Dallas is 0-for-14, and not just 0-for-14, guys. Like, there were power plays where they could barely get the puck in the zone.
Right.
And last night, they almost tried overpassing. They looked a little hesitant. And, you know, I thought Leon Draisaitl said it very well about his penalty killers. He goes, they did something that's hard to do. They controlled the rhythm of the power play. Mm-hmm. And Dallas just never looked really in sync in this series at all on the man advantage. I thought Stuart Skinner, you know, the last three games, like the Oilers, after going down 2-0 in the first 5 minutes of game four, in the last 175 minutes, they outscored Dallas 10-2. Like they didn't fall their way into this series. Right. They really dominated. And Edmonton, you know, Chris Knobloch, he pushed a lot of buttons. He made lots of changes to his roster. And they all worked, right? He brings in Broberg, scores a goal, right? Sits out McLeod, then brings it back in. He scores a goal. Corey Perry sit out five games, comes in, gets an assist on that goal. So, you know, lots of the decisions the coach made worked.
So what do we think here, that Edmonton can turn this into another power play special team situation? We know Dallas couldn't get it going. We know Edmonton couldn't do anything wrong here. Is there a chance that you know, Edmonton can use that momentum in this Stanley Cup final against the Panthers?
Well, I would think so. What's interesting is Edmonton didn't have, there was no power play goals in the first four games, right? Edmonton didn't score. Then they went 4-for-5 in games 5 and 6, and that was the difference. And they ended up being 36% in the series. Dallas was very disciplined. They didn't take many penalties, guys, like six mm-hmm. penalties through the first four games. Like, and, you know, and I think a few of those were puck over the glass and too many men on the ice penalties. So not a lot of actual infractions that they did. Now, Florida's a different beast. They're physical. They take penalties just because that's how they play. So I'm curious, like, if you go back and look at the Stanley Cup last year, what did they lose on? Vegas scored 6 power play goals. Florida had 1. So I don't think they want to get into a game where we'll go power play for power play, because Edmonton ultimately is better. Like, they've had the best power play for 5 years in the league. I'd be stunned. Like, look at the last series. We thought, oh, 4 games, Dallas is doing pretty good. And then game 5 and 6, they're 80% on the power play, and that wins them both games. So I really think that, you know, Florida's going to play discipline, but they're also, you can't change, Nick. You know this. You get to the Stanley Cup final, it's not like, well, geez, guys, we've been physical the whole way, but now we can't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how they can't. They're just going to have to play physical within the rules.
Fun fact, Dallas was the least penalized team in the NHL this year, Florida the most, almost double the Dallas Stars. So it's going to be a different type of energy, I'm going to guess, in those games. So should play into the Oilers' hands. One of the things that has to go well when you kill penalties is your goaltender being good. Skinner misses a couple games in the playoffs, comes back, and he's been excellent since. How much of it do you say Stu Skinner's been excellent, or how much is that this defense has protected him a little better and given him a chance to have success?
Well, I think, last game they sure didn't. You know, Stuart Skinner was unreal. He stole in that game, no question. Just like he did in round one against L.A. when they got outshot 33-13 and he shut out the Kings 1-0. Stuart Skinner, you know what, he's real big into mental coaching. He works a lot on the mental game. He wasn't playing up to his standards in that Vancouver series. They sit him out for two games. He comes back and he's 6-2 since. He's got like a 1.81 goals against and a save percentage, I think, a 920 or 919. And he's just looked really calm. Edmonton is a good defensive team, make no mistake about it. They were, if you, here's all the stats in the regular season where, because I think when everybody thinks Edmonton, they still think McDavid and Draisaitl, as they should. But these are the categories where the Oilers were top five defensively in the regular season. They were third in high danger chances against. They were second in expected goals. They were first in slot shots against, fourth in inner slot shots, fourth in rush chances, fifth in chances off the cycle. Like, they were good, and they've been that way in the playoffs. But when they did falter against Dallas, especially the last three games, which wasn't a lot, but when they did, Skinner stood up and he played well. So I'll say it's a combination of Skinner has played his game very well, but also the Oilers are continuing to be a pretty solid defensive team.
Jason, I'm sure everybody's on the outside thinking that the focus is to shut down Connor or Leon, but Evan Bouchard is now the fastest defenseman in history outside of Bobby Orr and a teammate of mine, Brian Leetch, to 50 points here. And maybe the focus should be on shutting this guy down.
Well, Bouchard has really elevated his play, I think, in this playoffs. I think ever since, like, he had the benefit a few years ago of getting to play with Duncan Keith. Now he, since they acquired Matthias Ekholm, and so, because Bouchard's only his third year in the league, guys, like, playing defense is hard. And you know what? Mostly offensive guys, they're going to struggle a little bit at times, but I really feel Bouchard, as good as his offensive numbers have been, his overall defensive game has really been, to me, the biggest improvement. He's always been a good offensive player. He had 80 points in the regular season. You know what? He's a really good facilitator on their power play. He knows when to dish it, and he knows when to unleash his shot, and he's got a really good shot. His best asset is moving the puck quickly out of the zone. And so this is going to be a real test for him because Dallas wasn't physical, and Vancouver's biggest physical came more from their defense, whereas Florida's physicality comes from their wingers. So I look at Bennett, Tkachuk, you know, those guys. I think they're going to – if you're Florida, you have to try to pinpoint Bouchard. The problem is he's very good under pressure. So you're right. He has to be a focal point because he's the guy who moves the puck up and then gets it on the stick of Draisaitl and McDavid, and then they're ultra dangerous. But, you know, and they kind of, you know, they play McDavid with Bouchard a lot, and why shouldn't you? He's your best offensive defenseman playing with your best offensive player. It makes sense.
So, you know, when the Oilers have fallen short in the past, people had talked about, obviously, defense and goaltending, all the things that come up every time you fall short. But they've also talked about depth scoring, which it feels like they've gotten a little bit more of. Tell us a bit about, everyone's talking about McDavid and Draisaitl and Skinner. Tell us about the depth of all the Oilers forwards core and their group and how they've done.
Well, I actually argued at the start of the series because everybody was talking about Dallas's depth. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but depth sometimes can be a polite way of saying we don't have top-end talent.
Right.
And, you know, the Oilers have top-end talent. And so when your top-end talent needs to be good, which the Oilers are, but their depth guys, Matthias Janmark, huge shorthanded goal on a play from Connor Brown. Ryan McLeod comes out of the press box, scores. Philip Broberg, and, you know, scored in his second playoff game this year, a huge goal in Dallas. Now, it was the third goal in the game, but that just gives you a lot more breathing room where they hadn't been able to get that three-goal lead. Adam Henrique, a guy who missed most of the Vancouver series, but this is like a 7-time 20-goal scorer, guys. Scored 24 goals this year. And he, like, the more I watch Henrique every game, because I haven't seen him a ton, God, he really impresses me. He's very good in faceoffs, and he is ultra smart. Like, he's not the fastest guy, but his brain allows him to take the
angles,
the plays. And so, yeah, their depth is way, like, Warren Fogel scored 21 goals this season, guys. He didn't even get in the lineup the last three games. Right? Like, wow. Sam Carrick, when he comes in, like, I'll be curious. Chris Knobloch has been able to push the right buttons, and he looks for matchups on who he wants in at certain times. And I look at Sam Carrick, and I won't be surprised if we see him over Derek Ryan at times in the series because of, you know, trying to match that physicality of Florida. And you got to wear him down. And that, Carrick's better at that. Ryan has better assets in, you know, moving the puck and creating offense, you know, and winning some faceoffs. But, you know, Sam Carrick brings you a different element. So their depth guys have all shown up without question. And, like, not with huge amount of goals, but just with some timely goals.
We're talking to Jason Greger, host of the Jason Greger Show on Sports 1440 in Edmonton. So, Jason, we know what we're going to get out of Bennett and Tkachuk and their ability to go out there and, you know, just grind your gears. So where does that put the emphasis on other players on Edmonton? Not to go chasing anything, but where does Evander Kane come into play here?
Oh, Nick, I think it's huge. Like in 2022, when the Oilers beat the Flames, Kane kind of neutered Tkachuk in that series, if you go back and watch it, right? Dave Tippett at the time, basically, it was one of those rare, you know, winger-on-winger matchups. And he switched Kane's line and put Kane out against him more. And Tkachuk, after game one, did very little in that series. Now, Kane's banged up. I'm not sure if you guys noticed last night.
Yeah.
He basically was on the bench but didn't play. You know, he played 2 minutes in the first period and took a few shifts in the second. But he kind of looked like he wrecked his ankle when he went to hit Petrovic in that first period. But I think Kane's a huge part of this game. Not necessarily going to score a ton of points for you. Obviously, it'd be nice. But they're going to need him and Dylan Holloway to try to match some of the physicality of Florida. And then stay within, you know, composure and not take penalties. You don't want to run around on them because, you know, like Tkachuk is unbelievable at pissing people off. Like, it's an art. It's an art. And he's very skilled, of course. But it's an art of how he can just suddenly, like, he gets David freaking Pasternak to agree before he goes to the bench, we're going to fight next time. Pasternak comes off the bench. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. But that's how much he can really get under guy's skin. So the Oilers, you know what? Like, he's smart. He's not going to fight Evander Kane. But you know what? He will try to get the other guys, Nugent Hopkins, Drysdale, McDavid. You know he's going to stick him at every time. Bouchard, I think, for sure. He's going to try to scrum up Bouchard as much as he can. And so, yeah, the Oilers, they're going to have to stay composed. And that's what – I'm going to love the gamesmanship of this series because I think we're going to see a lot of it.
Yeah, Tkachuk is like Hannibal Lecter getting someone to swallow their own tongue. Just complete words alone make them completely lose their mind.
That's an interesting way to
look
at it.
That's who he is to me. He's Hannibal Lecter. They should wheel him out in that gurney thing to start the games. On a less psychotic note, give us a vibe check in Edmonton. Where fans at, the team, it just watching the images last night, got to be pretty good feeling these days.
You know, it's been a while. Like I've obviously this would be my second Stanley Cup covering, you know, for a team that you're in the city, and you know it was way back 18 years ago. And it's funny how much has changed. Like there's really no social media back then, right? So now you see everything. But I like the Oilers when they won a series in 2006. They went to like the bar on White Ave and you know had a party last night. The Oilers had to go, you know, they had a private function at a player's house because it's just a different time now. Like, you can't really go out and it's kind of too bad because I think, you know, just for fans to get to, you know, hey, congratulations, you know, it's kind of good, but you can't really do that now because people go overboard and you got to video everything. So, you know, they don't want that. But the city itself, it's obviously a hockey-mad market like it would be in any Canadian city for sure. Edmonton's pretty blue collar. You know, you've got everybody painted up or, you know, people are flags all over their cars. And now it's the Stanley Cup final. So you got a week to plan for it. How I always say is this in the playoffs is you have your diehard fans and this is the reward for being diehards. They watch every game in December and January and whatever. But now you have kind of like the B and C level fans who maybe watch 10 games and some who never watch any, but all of a sudden it's the playoffs and now they're planning parties. You know, you got neighborhood watch parties. What are we having for food? And it's just everywhere. Like you see it. Like I coach my son's ball hockey team. They're 10 years of age. So none of them were around in 2006. And you know, we had a game on Saturday and all they're talking about in the game is like, what do you think the Oilers game is going to be? Like they're 10 years old. They're right at that age where you can really kind of, you know, kind of chew on the bone of being a fan and have memories of and remember it for years later. So, you know, 18 years ago, like think about it. You would have had people 18 years ago, guys, that were probably, if they're 20 to 30, they're out partying and boozing, you know, they're hungover the next day. Now they're parents and maybe they're watching their kids do it. And now they're at home, and you know, enjoying it with their family. So it's completely different for some fans. And that's what makes it fun. Like, you know, because you never know when it's going to be again. Like, let's be honest here. There's no guarantee a team gets to a Stanley Cup final. And never mind win. Obviously, the Oilers haven't won since 90, and Panthers have never won. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of nervousness, but the city itself is everywhere you go. It's, you know, everybody's talking about it. The football and the baseball team have games scheduled Saturday at late. They've changed them, so their start times are 1 o'clock because you just can't compete.
Love that.
You can't compete with the NHL team at 6.
Just a bunch of parents with Fernando Pisani tattoos just rooting on their teams.
Oh, there was quite a few of those for sure. Yeah. Maybe some ill-advised Chris Pronger ones they might have gotten taken off.
Yeah, right.
I think I wore the same t-shirt in 2006. Thanks, Jason. Really appreciate your time, man. Have fun covering this Stanley Cup final.
Anytime, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, you betcha.
Thanks,
great
man.
Stuff. Jason Gregor.
You know, it's such a good point.
18 long years for the Leafs, I mean, for the Oilers to make it. The last time the Leafs made it, my dad was 12.
It does, though, speak to a generation. They say, I think the age that, like, somewhere between 8 and 12, if you're a fan of a team at that time and they have success and you're in, like, you're hooked for life, there are generations here where that hasn't happened. So good for the Oilers to have another crop of kids hooked.
Yeah. Few generations. What it comes down to, and I hate to admit this, and I shouldn't even say this for my Leaf fans, it's just jealousy. I'm just jealous as hell what they have. Like, I see their,
awesome.
I see, and it's not Toronto. It's a smaller city. It's just their only show in town is the Oilers. Like, they have the Elks. They have, like, the baseball team that he's talking about, the minor league team. They have stuff. Yeah. But it's the only show in town. I'm jealous of them.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. You should be jealous.
I wish.
I got a neighbor here.
What I wouldn't give. You know. Can you imagine what we would be doing right now at the Leafs? Won a game six to go to the Stanley Cup final?
Not a one-hour show.
Yeah. Maybe. Did you hear Tyler Seguin, who won, by the way, Stanley Cup?
When he was an embryo?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's last night, I think, you know, to paraphrase him. It's hard.
Hockey's hard.
Tough game.
Yeah. It is hard.
Playoffs are beasts.
And it's so hard.
And
like, the stars have to, like, line up.
You know, you talk about it being, like, a smaller sample size than the regular season. But just think of how long this Oilers thing's gone on, right? Like, their starting goalie was lost and in the wilderness, and everybody threw him aside, and he came back, and he's been great.
Calvin Pickard, it's just, you know, potential.
It's one playoffs where it's not a small sample size anymore, right? Like, it's such a grind. How many games of hockey you have to play?
25 playoff games or whatever to win a cup. It's a lot of hockey.
Ugh.
So I think last night Sportsnet tweeted that it's the longest distance between two cities now in the Stanley Cup?
Ever. True. Yeah. Boston-Vancouver was the previous distance.
And how far is that?
Quite far.
It's a little bit less.
This is slightly less.
Yeah, like it's still over 4,000, but it's just a little bit less.
What happens if, like, the pilot takes a little wider turn?
Just to rack it up. But it is by latitude. Longitude? Latitude. The biggest difference.
All right, then, David Suzuki.
This isn't a geography show.
Wow.
They're far apart, guys. What else do you want to know?
Latitude and longitude. I'm
trying to negate your fruitless argument about a long route.
Okay, well, it's far.
Yes.
We know it's far.
It's quite far. All right, let's listen to some clips. Shall we?
Yeah, which one?
Do you want to listen to McDavid talk to Kyle?
Yes.
It's about a minute and a half, or a little less than a minute and a half. It's a great interview.
Let's do it. Chris, thank you. Connor, you are headed to the Stanley Cup Final. How would you describe that reality?
Yeah, it feels like a dream, honestly. It was a crazy one tonight. Not our best effort, but we hung in there. Found a way to get a win. Stu was great. Everybody played great. Just hung in there.
How did you hang on in the third?
I'm not sure. It wasn't pretty, but we got it now.
This building, I mean, what, 4 minutes left? We're on their feet. What do you think of all this?
When the horn went off, that's the loudest I've ever heard it. Special place to play, honestly. So much history, these fans. It was great to hear their support.
First period, you were shot out of a cannon. How would you describe your determination to end this series tonight?
Yeah, we wanted to get it done, obviously. You know, great opportunity here on home ice. I thought our first was good. Wish we played a little bit better the rest of the 40, but like I said, we hung in there, we got it done. Everybody deserves it.
What do you think about Stuart Skinner and the performance he put forth?
Yeah, I can't say enough good things. You know, a lot of people doubt him. A lot of people say things about him, but he's done nothing but stand in there for us and stand tall. So happy for him.
Connor, congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
So there was this is now... When you're the number one player in the world, basically, that he knows they got away with something a little bit here.
Oh, he's like, yeah, right? No, we weren't the best.
Got it done.
But then
no,
we're playing great. We're playing great.
Can they beat Florida with not their best effort?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So he knows there's some work to do now.
They play like they did in game five. They can win.
All right. We're going to get more into that as the week progresses. Stick with us.
Yes. A lot of time to break it down, boys.
A lot of time on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. And we're not going away all week. We'll get you ready. We'll see you tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.